This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Namai, haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0, independent community media. I'm Bruce Scott, co-hosting Cosmopolitan News and Views with Mel Driscoll this afternoon, plus guests and the usual crowd in this afternoon. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine, column comment. Today in history for August 2, New Zealand Hit Parade, chartorg.nz. History song, August 2, 1966. At 1 o'clock, we'll have a weather update. American politics with Gary Schofield, Dwayne Porter and Trevor before 2 p.m. this afternoon. On a Sunday afternoon, cold but blue sky out there at the present moment.
They knew about it, and then they claimed that they didn't know. And I'm not making up sunshine. Yeah, I know this came here 5 minutes ago. Go back to your own country. That's where they lie like a flatfish. But they don't lie like how they're here, all right? Come to me. This is called a democracy. This is called a democracy, unlike what you're used to. So go back to where you come from, you loudmouth, and maybe you'll learn something about this politics of New Zealand in time before you go streaming out here in 3 months' time.
Yep. That is 81-year-old Winston Peters this week on the news. He's been accused of being a racist. And the talk is also, why didn't our Prime Minister do more to stop this? He has been called out around the world. Condemnation comes from the Green Party, Labour Party and other parties in Parliament, and from the Chinese ambassador. So what is wrong with Winston Peters and his xenophobia? He doesn't like China. And years ago at a New Zealand First conference, he made the point of using an old rhyme of two wongs don't make a white. That was at a New Zealand First conference. Should Winston Peters be gone? In other countries, he would be down the road, faster than lunchtime. But why is Luxon not getting rid of his foreign minister? Is it due to the coalition? We haven't heard from the other part of the coalition, David Seymour. To me, and many, many others, this is just pure racism on the part of Winston Peters. Is there a problem in our country with this, with our political parties? And Shane Jones recently made another so-called racist comment. We don't deserve this in this country. The man, the target from the Green Party, only said, are you vaccinated? This is due because they were talking about the COVID-19 inquiry. Mr. Peters, are you too old to be a minister? 81? Time to pull up stakes, leave Wellington and go fishing in the north of the country. Minutes to 1-244-151, August 2, 2026. This day in 1993, USS Texas, the nuclear-capable missile naval vessel, meets land and sea protests as it docks in Auckland. This day, a moment in history when delegates sign the United States Declaration of Independence. day in 1990, Iraq invades Kuwait, triggering the Gulf War. Day 1931, Irish actor Peter O'Toole, Lawrence of Arabia, the last emperor born. He died 2013, aged 81. It was this day in 1921 that, in music, tenor Enrico Caruso dies. Actually, it doesn't sound too much like Enrico Caruso, so we'll just find the right track for you. I've got it. That is actually Benjamin Gili. We are meant to be having the sound of the late, great Enrico Caruso. So I think we have found the right track. This is Enrico Caruso. Finally got there, didn't we? Okay.
And for all the children in the Hollywood Children's Hospital, here is our next
one. This day in 1939, due to the impending conflict, children evacuated from London to the countries, towns in the UK and also overseas.
Dick Haymes sings, "There will never be another you," sing Dick.
No. It was this day in 2003. Singer-actor Don Astill, Lofty Sogden, at Ain't Avot Mum Dies, aged 70. So let's go back and play the number one song that he and Windsor Davies recorded. This is Whispering Grass.
Promise me, green grass, not to tell what you heard. Whispering grass, say, you can't keep you a word. Keep you a word, sing Lofty.
Why do you whisper, green grass? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering grass, the trees don't have to know. No, no. Why tell them all your secrets? Who kissed them long ago? Whispering grass, the trees don't need to know. Don't you tell me to the bees, but she will tell the birds and bees. you told the blabbering trees. Yes, you told them once before. It's no secret anymore. Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow. Whispering grass, don't tell the trees, 'cause the trees don't need to.
Don't you tell it to the breeze, 'cause she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blabbering trees. Oh yes, you told them once before, and it is no secret anymore. I will not have gossip in this jungle.
Why tell? The trees don't need to know.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media. What a voice. It was sad to read in his last years. He was prickly broke, Lofty Sugden. Or Don Estelle, Windsor Davies from It Ain't Enough What Mum, and Whispering Grass, the old Ink Spots hit. Well, let's talk right now about the News and Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, history and song. It is Tuesday, August 2, 1966, 1XH. Fred Barnes from 5 a.m. hosts Country Roundabout. Barnes, the NZBC Chief Rule Officer, later fronted the long-running series Country Calendar. 6 a.m. the breakfast session, there was news, there was the weather updates, and there was the school bell. I remember that. Moving over the page, from 9 to 12, there was the shopping reporter, and there was a cooking show with the great Graham Kerr. From 12 to 6, we had lunchtime, at 2 p.m. Cassie Russell, telephone time. We had the Archers at 4 o'clock from the BBC, and from 6 p.m. to midnight, we had Family Fair and Close Down at midnight. And number one this day is August 1, 1966. Paul Jones leading out Manfred Mann.
She's out of reach and out of sight. When she walks by, she brightens up the neighborhood. Oh, every guy would make her his if he just could, if she just would. Some sweet day. If she just would. Some sweet day I'll make her mine.
Manfred Mann, it was actually Paul Jones, not John Paul Jones. He was a John Paul Jones, I think, in Led Zeppelin. Sorry about the mix-up. But we were remembering 1966. We're remembering the NZBC head of rural broadcast, Fred Barnes. He was a farmer himself, so he knew a bit of thing about farming. He was based here in Hamilton, along with Hildred Carlisle, and later John Gordon. And, of course, as you know, Country Canada is still running in 2026. It's been around a long, long time. And I did meet the late Hildred Carlisle, of course, at Field Days one day. And we remember this particular theme. Hillbilly Child. FM 89.0, independent community media. And of course, that is Hillbilly Child. That is the sound of Country Calendar back in the early days, around 1966. The late Fred Barnes. More from the archives next week. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's a gorgeous day outside, so just take it easy out there. We're going to have Stephen King shortly.
Think of home, I sadly sigh, and I can see you there with loving tears in your eyes. As we fondly said our last goodbyes, and as I sailed away with a yearning to stay, a promise to be true, and love only you. But that blue smoke goes drifting by into the deep blue sky. My memories of home will never die.
John Hall Grinnell, and he was doing the song that was a big hit back in the 40s in New Zealand called Blue Smoke. Before we have the weather forecast, congratulations to all the Commonwealth Game athletes of New Zealand doing so well in Glasgow at this present moment. I think new times are set in swimming and pole vaulting, athletics, weightlifting. We've got a netball game coming up later today, so it's all go at the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, Scotland. Weather update at 1 minute past one. Fine, light winds. Monday, partly cloudy. Morning frosts, a chance of a shower. Southwesterlies, and that's going to be in the morning. And today's forecast high is 13 degrees, overnight low of 1. Well, that's better than having -3 and -4 during the week. And at the moment, we're right about 10 degrees in the city. Good afternoon, Stephen King.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Yeah, I retired on Friday.
Good on you. Good on you.
But it's, you know, satisfied but scary all at the same time.
While we're talking about sport and the Commonwealth Games, one of the big problems, of course, in sport is doping. Let's talk about doping.
Because
you know some athletes do take drugs.
Do they?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know the story. There were details of the late Robin Tate. This is documented. Robin Tate was selling drugs and taking drugs to enhance his and we had people from America and Canada doing drugs to enhance their performances in Commonwealth and Olympic Games. Why do these athletes...
Well, it enhances their abilities, that's for sure. There's no doubting that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end well.
I know.
I don't know where it's ever ended well.
There was a guy called Johnson. I remember... Ben Johnson. He got caught and banned for life. We've got cases of jockeys in New Zealand using drugs and they're put off the racetrack. There's a couple of jockeys off the track at the moment.
Such is the human condition.
Yeah. No, I thought we'd bring it up because we're having such a... I've been watching a bit of it. You've been watching some of the Commonwealth Games?
Oh, just a little bit here and there.
It is brilliant at the moment, and that swimmer, he's done so well. And anyway, you've retired, so what does a retired man like me do?
Lots of things. I'm the talker. I've just raised discussions with the man in the street. I've talked to my friends and associates, and particularly like to hear from the older guys who've been ahead before. You know, they're in their 80s, not necessarily 70s, 80s, and what have you, and got all points of view. I think the most important one is to manage social contacts, keep the relationships alive.
Yep, yep.
I guess the biggest thing is to avoid isolation. But at the same time, so... Yeah, we're just going to relax. I was a straight 25 years, and to be honest, one of my failings is I'm workaholic. Oh, is that a drug? It can have an impact along those lines. So I'm just going to have a bit of a rest. We got a short-term holiday,
overseas trip. Is there an overseas trip?
Yes. Next year I'll be going to at some stage. It's not drawn up as yet because there's a lot of things I have to take into account. But I'm English Irish ancestry, first generation New Zealander. Yep. So I've got some self commitments of wanting to see my forefathers' worlds. My father was from Guernsey, Ireland.
You're going to Ireland?
Northern Ireland. My mother was from Belfast. Yep.
You're going to kiss the Blarney Stone and all that?
I haven't had much thoughts about the Blarney Stone as such, but it's a good idea.
Yeah. But, hey, you see, looking here, you're looking more relaxed. Now you're retired. There's no pressure's off.
Disguise, Bruce. I'm in disguise.
No more late night phone calls.
Oh, well, I don't see. That's the thing. I've retired from managing the primary client, the addict who needs to take time out from the community and the bottle store and the drug dealer in residential setting. I'm still the founder and a permanent trustee of the trust, but I have an operations team running that aspect of it. The part that the great unspoken is the work that I've been doing for years, and not so much work, it's support, walking alongside the frustrated family members who have done everything that they can to convince their family member to stop using drugs and excess of alcohol and failed. And they come eventually. All roads lead to my phone.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I look at some of the pictures in the paper, and I did see, was it this week in the paper or online somewhere, that the police have now made another major drug haul, and you see the police with all the bags of the drugs in front of police cars and all that, just to show off to the media.
It is a problem. It's a big problem. It's a growing problem.
Mm-hmm. So, what is worse? Is cocaine the badass drug of the world? Pardon my language.
Well, I don't know if you can call a drug that gives. Sorry to any listeners. Yeah. To have a sensation of feeling godlike for a few minutes.
Yeah.
So no, you see, it's people have different views of different drugs.
I've had this discussion too this week with somebody. We were talking about Coca-Cola. Remember, the original recipe for Coca-Cola contained cocaine.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's back in history.
And there was another report this week that also an international research that was on one of your national radio.
They're friends with this place anyway. Yeah, so.
Are they? Yes. Yeah. New piece of research that any alcohol is not good for you.
Yep.
That notion about the red wine is a health. Well, there was some historically way back alcohol assisted eating, people scavenging for food, and we're talking hundreds of years ago, that alcohol would kill off a few bugs and what have you. But now we're at a place where alcohol is a poison.
Yeah.
And the latest piece of research, any alcohol is not good for you. Sorry about that.
Yep. Hey, right now there's somebody in the city just woken up in a daze after being out in the town all night, on the tiles all night, so they've just woken up.
Well, I'm more concerned just at the recreational users, you know, what it does to the health. So, you know, it's part of where our culture comes from. Please don't let me decry it completely, because we are rugby, racing and beer. Yeah. Beer. Rugby, racing and beer, and it's been part of our culture, an enjoyable aspect for a lot of people and in that respect. So it's not all one way. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's also part of our culture. Television, you see all these television programs where it's either white wine or red wine or the beer. The down of the Rovers return on Coronation Street, and they're drinking pint after pint. It's not real alcohol, but it's a soap. But you see the culture in these British soaps that you got to have a pint, you got to have a whiskey.
Well, I'm more concerned, along with Associate Emeritus Professor Douglas Selman at Otago Medical School, who decries, and I agree, the over-availability of alcohol in supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a moneymaker, and when anything's a moneymaker, you will have people that will make money from it.
Well, we used to have our own brewery by the Waikato River there.
That's right, I remember that.
Yeah.
I used to drink that stuff. Green Label, Waikato.
You and I don't drink it right now because I health issues. I gave up, but I've been
35 years for me, Bruce. And yeah. You knocked it on the head. Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of, there's 30% of the population don't drink alcoholic. That doesn't mean there's 30% of the population are alcoholic. There's a whole lot of people who choose not to enjoy and or the experience of alcohol. It just doesn't fit with their life. Some cases, people, it's a religious thing, and other people, it's just not for them.
And as you, well, yes, let's say you're retired, but in the background, your people who you've trained over the years will be there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, well, not that I necessarily train, because I'm sort of hard end, lived experience, a former drug addict and alcohol dependent individual, been 35 years sober. I haven't become godlike or any ideas of such things. I try to practice humility as best I can. The people who work with people have their own journey. And they're not necessarily just because they're lived experience, they automatically can work with people who are experiencing problems with drugs and alcohol. There's a lot of people who do it as a profession, counsellors, family therapists, social workers, and they are all helpful, and I didn't train them.
Yep. And good on the police for having the for being there on the streets on a Friday or Saturday night, just checking that people are not drinking and driving. They were up at the corner here last Saturday night when I was here. So,
It's hard, and I don't know if you have that much time, because you would need to make at least half an hour for the discussion around people moving on.
Yep.
Moving on where?
Yep.
And what about children moving on? We have to be aware. This is just not an easy answer to this, because everybody's got to be somewhere.
Yep. And, of course, you agree with the drug testing by the police now?
We've got a growing problem and no solutions in it, and then you rock in with how much it costs, cost of living, power bills, all the rest of it. Life is harder these days.
And, of course, another facet of course, is domestic violence. The kids catch it, and the wife or the girlfriend catches it too, back of the hand or kick in the stomach by an angry drunk man, or vice versa.
It's always been there, and it may be accelerated a bit in these days. But I don't want to make it an end of world kind of discussion. I think that we've got a lot of work to do socially.
Yep.
I'm certainly pressuring government any way I can with convincing them about what we need to do.
But remember, alcohol is not illegal. What is illegal is the illegal bike riders going around the city at the moment. That's for another day. So
You can't force people to change. That's what I know. You have to, and when they get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and many of them do, then we're there to facilitate and support their process of embarking on change and finding that there is another way.
Yeah, and also a good time also to. A facet of drinking is giving up smoking too.
Best thing I ever did, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we managed the harm because, you can't stop people doing anything. But when I look back on my 35 years, the reason I'm here and being so able to breathe and speak so lengthily is because I don't smoke. I was 4.5 years clean off narcotics, and I stopped smoking. It was the best thing I ever did.
Did you ever have those brown marks on your fingers from...
No, not so much, but I smoked anything, cigars, cigarettes, Camels, Benson & Hedges, pipes, dope. I smoked anything and everything, Bruce. Yeah.
Good on you. So, hey, we'll catch you in another couple of weeks' time to have another go and another Stephen King special.
Yeah, I remind people to register to vote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's less than 100 days, old man.
That's right.
Yeah, less than 100 days. But if things, I'm just thinking, maybe the election will be a bit earlier if they don't get rid of a certain politician for what he did this week to a certain other politician.
Which one are you talking about? Because they're all doing, there's quite a few of them doing little bits and pieces. I was very disappointed at the Women's Commissioner not being reappointed. She's on Jack Tame's Q&A this morning. Very disappointed because she's worked very hard and she's very good at what she does.
Oh, it's many things that maybe she doesn't fit in with the current government's mandate, because another thing too, this local government reform is going down a drain a bit, because we'll be seeing a lot of politicians, new politicians, by the end of this year, maybe.
Who knows? The only good thing about it is the people get what they vote for.
Yeah. Hey, Stephen King. No, he's not. People ask me, no, you're not the famed horror writer. You're a drag.
Oh, I don't watch my own movies. No, they're too scary for me, Bruce.
Oh, I think the worst. I think I saw that movie, If, the one about the clown and all that.
Oh, no. I can't have that.
Yeah, no. This Stephen King is not the horror author.
Oh, not on a good day.
Hey, you could write a book about. Have you ever thought about writing a book?
Well, I was seeing you say there is a book being written, but and I'm part of it next year. But I'm actually suffer from dyslexia. It's one of the issues I bring from my childhood. So, writing is not my biggest thing. But you can tell my talking's not.
Hey, no. You've done great. The one and only Stephen King. You're heading off to the cafe now, are you?
No, I've done that early. Goodness me, drinking coffee in the afternoon would be a bit scary.
Oh, that's an idea. That is a bit scary.
Well, that's an addictive product too, by the way. That's my one drug of choice. Yeah.
Well, I've had a couple of lattes today, so I'm addicted. It's 1:18. Thank you, Stephen King. Here's a song called Reach Out, I'll Be There. This is dedicated to all those people who reach out and care for the people in our community.
I was just a little shaver, knee-high to a chair. The old man put me on his knee. Now he drained his glass and he closed his eyes and he handed me some good advice on how to be a real Kiwi. He taught me how to pick the second leg and how to tap a brewery keg and said, "My boy, you needn't have a fear. Because of your great parentage, you've got a national heritage of rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Down under their mat over them, rugby racing and beer." My old Uncle Charlie went to see his doctor yesterday. Says he, "You gotta help me, Doc, and quick. I'm seeing footballs in my eyes, pink horses twice their normal size, and every Monday morning, oh, I get so sick." The doctor took one look at him and he said, "Now, Charlie, things are grim. Complacency is setting in, I fear. You'd better write that will tonight, as you've contracted kiwi-itis with your rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Down under their mat. Rugby racing and beer." One night when all the world was dead, I woke up startled in my bed. Somebody was creeping down the hall. Well, I ducked my head and I counted 10, but there it was, that noise again. A burglar must be paying us a call. I said, "Who's that?" A voice said, "Me, Uncle Charlie. Want some tea? It's only my transistor you can hear. Oh, these evening races give me hell. I've got the night trots now as well as rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Down under their mat over them. Rugby racing and beer." Jimmy was a country boy, all very shy, very coy. You know the sort I mean, through and through. Well, at the local dance, he met this girl and he thought he'd like to give this bird a burl. But where to start? Well, he hadn't got a clue. He parked the car, she looked at him, cuddled up and whispered, "Jim, tell me those three words I want to hear." Well, he looked at her with some surprise and said with love light in his eyes, "Oh, rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer. Down under their mat over them. Rugby racing and rugby racing and rugby racing and beer. Rugby racing and beer."
Yeah, the late Rod Deere, just going back to Stephen King, the rugby racing and beer thing. And this is Free FM 89.0, remembering 1966, remember Country Calendar and Fred Barnes. And what were we watching on television at the time? We were watching The Andy Griffith Show. Oh, Josephine from Zed Cars, one of the popular shows on New Zealand television back in 1966, ahead of the Andy Griffith Show theme. Good afternoon, Mel Driscoll.
Good afternoon. Whenever he can, Gary Schofield follows the American Senate hearings into the circumstances surrounding how a deadly virus emerged and claimed so many victims. A hearing was concerned to find what really happened. The virus COVID-19 hit with devastating effect around the globe, but the man whose face is familiar from TV, whose advice as a virologist was hotly debated, is unwilling to talk and tell the world what he knows. He cited at least 100 times his rights under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States to decline to give evidence. The man is Dr. Anthony Fauci, former advisor to President Trump on scientific opinion as to how to eliminate the epidemic. Gary Schofield wonders what Dr. Fauci has to hide by refusing to give evidence.
Not just me, I would assume. I would assume there's more than me around the world that would like to know what Dr. Fauci doesn't want to say. And it's quite an extraordinary time that we went through. It, to me, it doesn't seem that long ago. And there were so many questions about where the virus came from, how was it made, was it made, was it natural? And these were all issues that Dr. Fauci, including Senator Rand Paul, wanted to question Fauci on because of the issue and what it's called in the business, which is gain of function, where you take a virus or a bacteria and you make it more susceptible to, well, so that it can actually infect humans. So this gain of function research, it seems that was actually going on in Wuhan. And Dr. Fauci was given a pardon for anything that he had done, sight unseen, topics unmentioned by, I think it was President Biden, one of his actions, and the power of pardoning somebody is a very important thing that a president can do. So Fauci was concerned, and this is how he justified getting up there on the stand in front of all this, and we all want answers, of course, and saying 100 times that he was citing his privilege for the Fifth Amendment. So that's quite an extraordinary statement of things to do. He was saying that they want to entrap him into perjury, because if they couldn't get him on a previous crime that he's been pardoned for, or, and by the way, this is all hypothetical, no one's saying he's, well, there are some people saying, but I'm not saying. So what that could mean is that he says something that is in contradiction to what he said before, but that's the nature of court, isn't it? You know, yeah. When you go and you make a stand and people interrogate you and they ask you questions and you have to be consistent, you can't perjure yourself. Well, it's a bit disappointing that we aren't going to receive the information from Dr. Fauci, who, after all, during that time, was considered the great hero of the COVID pandemic. So wouldn't it be terrible if he had something to do with actually creating it?
Yeah, good afternoon, Gary. How are we?
We're doing very well and very healthy. I know there's a lot of flu around this time of the year, but I seem to be perfectly healthy, although some of my friends are not.
Yeah, I've seen some of the Fauci stuff this week. Somehow, people like Rand Paul and others, Josh Hawley, got hold of Fauci's diaries. I don't know where they got them from, but that's another insight to what happened. But you can see with Rand Paul,
also the emails. There were emails that went out between Fauci and other scientists, and the course of those emails and the discussion and the way that they're written do indicate that they were well aware that it came from a lab and not a natural setting. So those are the ones that they wanted to question him about, and that he's not getting giving any answers on those.
Well, I think it came out of Wuhan. It came out of the markets. I don't think it was the laboratory. I think it was the markets that this COVID-19 came out of.
Well, if you talk about the markets, they were a seafood market. A bat is not seafood, for a start. And when it was sequenced, it came from Yunnan province. That's 1,000 miles away. So you would expect, if it were natural, that there would be a trail all the way from Yunnan to Wuhan, but it started at Wuhan. And so that doesn't seem natural. So it means it was transported. Also, the gene sequencing shows the furin cleavage site, which is a site that is spliced into the virus to make it more easy to infect humans. So for all those reasons, I would dispute your assessment.
Oh, fair enough. Hey, we're a free country.
Exactly, and I enjoy that, and I certainly enjoy the balance on this show that we get all the plethora of opinion, whether we're right or not.
Another legal matter coming out of Washington this week was that the case against the Olympic canoeist has been dropped. Janine Pirro went on television, told, this man is guilty. Well, it's proved he's not guilty. The case has been dropped, which is another black mark on American lawyers. And I think Janine Pirro.
Yes, you don't want to drag innocent people into court.
Yeah.
You know, it's the nature of what makes America great, to coin a phrase, is that there has to be some kind of justice in there. And so, I personally am glad, because this issue is, to me, it's a minor one.
Yeah.
And we're worrying about the things like the optics of the reflecting pool and all the rest of the ways that we can look unfavorably at the administration. But to me, the issue since we last talked was of Anthropic, where you've got AI has broken out of its cage. Broke out of its cage, and it went and attacked. It did it on itself. It managed to get human frailties, human qualities of deception and lying and cheating and stealing, and went out on a rampage and attacked actual companies in real life through the internet. That to me is like a breakout event. It tells me that these brilliant people, the technicians and all those that keep a check on what we're doing and they're pushing us forward to an AI future, were taken by surprise. In other words, AI is far more powerful than they even predicted for these things to happen.
I'm regularly using AI on my cell phone when I'm near Wi-Fi, and I brought your name up in AI this week, believe it or not, and I found...
Did I show up?
You showed up all right, because you painted a picture which sits on the wall in the office of Pete Hesketh in his ministry. You've got a painting in his office in the Pentagon.
Well, that dates back to the Clinton administration, in fact, so I have actually survived all those subsequent administrations to this point, and having the painting that was the full honors, which is the image that is given by the United States, often by the Secretary of Defense, or should we say war, to other allied nations. So it was used in diplomacy. I was very proud to have that experience.
Yep.
So yes. That the secret is out. Yes, I did do that. And many prints have gone out to many world leaders. Some good, some bad, some war criminals, some you name it.
I wonder if it's still on the wall of Pete Hesketh's office.
That would depend on his taste, but I must say I put a lot of art into that, a lot of work. Every single patch on the uniform is accurate. The actual people I painted, the stars, the stripes, all of Washington, D.C., the view from the Pentagon, the 19-gun salute it was, actually. And so everything I made is militarily accurate as possible. The states and territory, each flag is carefully painted correctly.
Yeah.
So I would think that he should be happy with the standard of that work.
Let's get away from politics, and I've just been saluting our New Zealand Commonwealth Games athletes. We've won over 20 medals, gold, silver.
As well, and we should.
And
yes,
we've got some champions. We've got pole vaulters. We've got swimmers. Athletes who thought the basketballers are coming up. We've got we've done so well, and in these games, and New Zealand should be proud of them. This is the Commonwealth of Nations in Glasgow in Scotland. Have you ever been to Glasgow in Scotland?
I have. And I did not have a favourable, well, just my own personal, because maybe I was just in a poorer or run-down area, but it seemed a little unsafe. I love the history of it. I love Scotland and the people. I had a wonderful time,
yeah,
even with the haggis. So, yes, I do know it well.
The late Nelson Mandela was given the freedom of the city of Glasgow in Scotland. I heard his speech he gave in that city. That was just before he became president of South Africa. So Nelson Mandela got the freedom of the city of Glasgow.
And don't forget also that the Commonwealth and that group of nations, that the extension of the British Empire is, and that alliance and that whole existence is a threat. So having something that represents the games and the way that people play in the friendly rivalry of an alliance that still heralds a time of unity, I think is a positive as well. So don't forget how by a thread the Commonwealth hangs.
Yep, because shortly after we talk to you, I'm going to play you part of the opening ceremony at the Games in Glasgow in 2014. The opening ceremony with Calvin Harris. That's coming up shortly. So
brilliant.
Yeah. Have a good day. And what did Stuart do on his birthday? Because it was his birthday last week, wasn't it?
Well, because he was besieged by the very odious standards of the law bar, and he was one exam after another crushingly, he was consumed by that and did nothing on his birthday. However, he's just disappeared off camping as a reward. Good on him indeed.
Yeah, give him our best, and give our best to your father too.
Will do, and thank you. Pleasure to talk.
Any final thoughts, Mel? Any final thoughts?
Well, you must, as a family, be setting a good example to the city. And we're always pleased to hear your insight into all the issues that beset the world. Thanks for that, Gary.
Hey, we'll talk again next week, Gary, here at Free FM.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. As we said, let's go back to 2014. And these are the Commonwealth Games in 2014 in Glasgow. Remixed by Calvin Harris. Andy Stewart's come in at Free FM 89.0. Another top show in New Zealand in 1966 was the Beverly Hillbillies.
Listen to my story about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. All that is black gold, Texas tea. You know old Jed's a millionaire. Kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. He said, California is the place you ought to be. So he loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. say goodbye to Jed and all his kin. They would like to thank you folks for kindly dropping in. You're all invited back again to this locality to have a heaping helping of their hospitality. Beverly Hillbillies, that's what they call them now. Nice folks. Y'all come back here.
FM 89.0, independent community media, Flattens Scruggs. And that, of course, is Come In, Come In. And right now, we're just waiting to bring up our call. I think we'll play another song. And no, I think we've got a caller on the line right now. And we'll plug him in. And here we go. And who are we speaking to, Mel?
Manu Manaharan, who is one who watches the city like a hawk and makes sure that none of our rate money goes where it shouldn't. You're worried about the capacity, perhaps, of our community to support the rates that will certainly be coming out and causing concern in the next short while. Manu?
Yes.
You think that it's going to be difficult for the city to handle the money that it needs?
That's not the problem. The council, present mayor and councillor said the rate increase is 6.9%, but the rate bill which came this month, the rates had gone up by 9.85%. That is because the water company EY, which is owned by city council, had added their rates. And the rates had gone up a lot. Last week, they had a meeting at WinTech, attended by the Hamilton CEO and other two speakers from other different councils. And the Hamilton CEO was saying that they had brought down the rate increase to 6.9%. It's not correct.
Yes, it seems that everyone expects there to be the effects of inflation and rising rates, but it reaches a point where people can't afford to live in the places that they might have done before the rate charges made them unaffordable. Is that inevitable, do you think, Manu?
I agree with you, because the rates had gone up by about $500, and people can't afford that. That is because the city council owned EY, the water company, had increased the rates. And I received a personal letter from Simon Watts, the Minister for Local Government, on the 24th of July. And he says, all council water services organizations will be subject to independent external scrutiny and validation of investment and pricing decisions by the economic regulator, the Commerce Commission, to ensure value for money for consumers. This policy will drive and support financial sustainability now and for future generations. I strongly encourage you to continue engaging with your council on your concerns, as this is the best way to ensure community views are considered in decision-making.
Well, thank you, Manu. As always, you're on the ball.
Yep. Manu, just before we go, Bruce here, do you think part of the problem too is this amalgamation of the councils in New Zealand has hit a brick wall in some areas?
I don't think Hamilton will benefit by the amalgamation.
Yep.
Now look at the water. The Waikato Regional Council and Hamilton joining together and forming EY. Waikato Regional water rates was high.
Yep.
Because those are farm and lifestyle blocks.
Yep.
And Hamilton was the urban area houses.
Yep.
Now they are trying to balance both together.
Yep.
And our water rates are going up.
Yep. Manu, thank you for your thoughts this afternoon. We'll catch up with you next time, our friend.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. There's issues around the cell amalgamation. Anyway, I'm going to play you the original version of Come In, Come In by Andy Stewart, which was used in the Commonwealth Games of 2014 in Glasgow, and remixed, of course, by the one and only Calvin Harris. So here is the original version from 1961.
Yes, means good cheer, but the simple words of welcome are the ones I long to hear. Come in, come in, it's nice to see you. How's yourself? You're looking grand. Take a seat and hey, a drummy man, you're welcome. Here's my hand. Scotland's sons are strong. To the bugle call of war, but to each and every exile there's a vision, not of fame, but of one dear lassie singing these sweet words that tell of him. Come in, come in. Dawn will come the parting, and we'll wander down the glen. Health be yours and joy be with you, till we sing these words again. Come in, come in.
The original Come In, Come In, the sound of the late Andy Stewart at Free FM. It's 9 minutes to two.
Shipping report from Dwayne Porter. Many ships out there waiting to get a berth?
Yes, there is still about another 20 or 30 arriving.
That's at the Port of Tauranga?
Yep, at Port of Tauranga, and also sitting out in the big oceans. At the moment, we've got about three petrol boats coming in, and we've got half a dozen of containers and logs and more containers.
Well, certainly it was a very busy port yesterday. You've listed here CMA, CGM, Orange. That ship had come from Melbourne, came in, and on the same day sailed.
Yep.
What's it carrying?
Containers.
Koreski Ol from New Plymouth that it came, and it berthed here, and it's eventually going out to sea. What is the business of a ship like that?
It's a bulk carrier boat, Mel. When I Googled it, I couldn't quite see what sort of boat it was. So when I Googled it, it was a bulk carrier.
There's Pan Optimum, which came from Gisborne yesterday.
Yep.
It's business?
Yep, she's in, getting a load of logs, and she's going to sail out again.
And tomorrow, just as many are due to make this their port of call at Tauranga.
Yep.
African Roller from Vietnam, and it's going
to Littleton. Yes, that one there is a very strange boat, Mel. It's the first time she's ever been into New Zealand. carrying fertiliser. So it's going to be quite happy for the fertiliser works to get all the loads and all the minerals down on farms.
And that was coming to New Zealand from Vietnam?
Yep.
Unusual?
Yep. We're actually importing a lot of fertiliser from Vietnam.
Well, I guess that means it's good production in that land.
Well, it is actually. It's a good production for the farmers. You know, you look at it and, you know, that's the first boat has arrived in the Port of Tauranga. It's the first time she's arrived.
ANL Otago, you know the ship. It's coming tomorrow and leaving the next day for Hong Kong.
Yep. Katona's, she's coming Katona. So those ones, like the ANL, she's already in now. So they're loading that one and she'll sail away either tonight or first thing tomorrow morning.
The Oriental Aquamarine coming tomorrow.
Yep. Well,
it's carrying
petroleum.
Ah, you were right. Yep. We're still getting petrol.
Yes, we are still getting petrol, Mel. It's pretty slow at the moment. Like, she'll be dropping the load off into there and then she'll be going down the south. At the moment, South Island has run out of fuel.
And they're not exactly down to walking and biking, are they, yes?
Well, I hope not, but the problem is that Marsden Point, they've took a load into Marsden Point, and then when she diverted from Marsden Point, they had to divert it to her to Tauranga, because Tauranga was just about near out, and then she'll be going straight down south. So there'll be another petrol boat due in on the 2nd, and then it's another petrol boat due in on the 5th, and then we've got another one coming in on about the 18th or 19th.
Yeah, talking about walking and biking, congratulations to the young guy who was filmed running down Anglesey Street in and out of the illegal bike riding that went on during the week. That was down there, that was just down Anglesey Street.
I reckon he could have jumped on the skateboard and make it more faster going on the skateboard down that way.
Anyway, let's go back to what we said just around when we came on air this afternoon.
This is called a democracy. This is called a democracy, unlike what you're used to. So go back to where you come from, you loudmouth, and maybe you'll learn something about this policy of New Zealand in time before you go streaming out here in 3 months' time.
Yeah, that is the 81-year-old New Zealand Foreign Minister Winston Peters. Yes, he's been caught out with racism. And, is he fit to be Foreign Minister? Coming up shortly, we'll talk to Trevor. In 1966, everybody was watching Bonanza on television, as well as Country Calendar and Steptoe and Son and many, many more. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. I pretty can't bring some of those shows back.
Well,
again, instead of repeats on cooking and quiz shows.
I've given up watching mainstream television. Every time I turn on, it's either a game show or someone's cooking up in a kitchen on an infomercial. So
yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, sir, what are you going to speak about this afternoon?
In the news, apparently a famous mountaineer got buried in an avalanche.
Yes.
I'm not sure the outcome of that, whether he ever was found or not, but I thought of an idea.
Yeah.
Why not have a transmitter attached to the wrist or something like that that sends a signal out to a detector where the exact location is under the snow?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of searching in a wilderness area of snow, I'm finding them.
Yeah. Hey, talking about mountaineers, we were talking to Gary Schofield, friend of the show, and he did paint a picture of Sir Edmund Hillary, New Zealand's most famous mountaineer.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it's a brilliant painting, and of course, climbing mountains in New Zealand or around the world, there have been many, many deaths. And
oh, it's very dangerous.
Yeah, centuries after they do find the bodies of people in the mountains.
Yeah, a lot of people have died on Everest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite interesting. So you've been watching the Commonwealth Games?
On and off with so on. And what amazes me is how high these athletes can jump.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I've been watching. I haven't been watching it live. I've been watching the highlights, and the weightlifter, boy, he's a big unit, and he getting those weights over his head. Could you do that?
Not that quantity of weights.
Hey, Trevor, thanks for being part of the show this afternoon. We'll leave you with Bonanza, and we'll join you again next week. Bye bye for now. Actually, tune was actually written by David Rose, who was one time husband of the late Judy Garland. So, yep, that's the truth. Hey, time to go. See you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.